if your car ever broke down in the middle of nowhere, you might appreciate
the Motor Man. You get your motor running. Healing your wheels for 35 years.
38.
Talk Radio 790 KABC is proud to present the one and only Motor Man, Leon Kaplan.
That's right, folks. Say hallelujah and welcome to it. Well, to another couple of power-packed hours of the one and only Motor Man Show. Sitting here in my beautiful Motor Man studio here in beautiful downtown Culver City, California. Sitting here just having fun. Frank's in there writing some jokes. God, I can't believe everywhere I go, people want to give me a joke. I've got some jokes and things, but we'll talk about. Anyway, it is a motoring show. Good morning, everyone. I am the Motor Man, where I talk about all things motorized. It's the only show in the world of its type, and it comes to you every single, so far, every single Sunday morning for years. Right here, Talk Radio 790, as I usually say, the fabulous KABC. You know, we've had five people who got the special mic award, and it was just a pretty golden mic award, and that's pretty special for radio station to get all these accolades and compliments or whatever it is. But it's great, so, and I'm glad to be just part of it. But anyway, you know, if it hums, purrs, or moves people, as most of you know, I love to talk about it because I put the romance back into all types of vehicles. And I've said this every opening of my show for years and years. I do have a motto. My motto is, and I'm as serious about this as I am sitting here, is I have a passion. And it's a big passion for sharing with you the information I've accumulated over the last couple of years about all things motorized, whether it's cars or boats or airplanes, motorcycles. I'm just one of these crazy kids when that anything, if it made noise, I wanted to be involved in it. Motoring noise, that is. So anyway, the phone numbers to get into the Motor Man Show are 1-800-222-5222, 800-222-5222, or 800-222-KABC. And we'll have some fun today. It's fun day. It's fun day, and it's Super Bowl day. Super Bowl Sunday, I guess it is, from the Super Bowl. Oh, thanks for correcting me, Frank. Super Bowl Sunday today. And who do you think's going to win, Frank? And by the way, Frank, good morning to you. The Eagles going to win? I think you probably are right. Now, I could be wrong, but I've been wrong once before. But anyway, I guess my purpose is always about giving, loving, and serving in some capacity. And then I usually say a man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. And it is so, so true. So do you have a favorite vehicle you like to share with the Motor Man and our listeners? Because I love helping you, so please let me be the one. I've got lots of news here, but the news is really nothing. I mean, I got news what color cars are the best. And I'll tell you about that through the show. And Nissan is thinking about dropping the Z car, the sports car, and all of this. So, but if you have a favorite car you'd like to share with the Motor Man, give me a call, and let's talk about it. And, you know, and really I've learned that no one is perfect until you fall in love with them. And that is so, so true. Okay, let's get this show on the road. We've got lots to talk about today, but the most important part of the show is talking to you. And I mean that sincerely. That makes me, when I leave and know that I've helped somebody, just one person makes me feel good. So let's start this hour off with Steve instead of me just going on, because I usually say it's a lifestyle show. You know, it's not a BS show. It's a CS show, customer service, and above all, common sense. Steve, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Leon.
How are you, my friend?
Fine, thanks. I have an 01 Buick Century with 90,000 miles. The low-cool light started to flash, and when I checked it, it seemed to have plenty of coolant in it. I did a pressure test, and I found a little bit of leaking under the coolant recovery tank, so I put another tank on, and it seems to be okay, but the light is still flashing.
Well,
and I noticed that the coolant level never went below the where the sensor is.
Sensor is the sensor in the coolant tank.
Yes, it's in the coolant tank on the passenger
side.
And
it may have just a bad sensor. As long as the coolant level is above that, it should turn off the light. You can unplug that sensor, just pull the wires off and see if it just shuts off all together. Other than that, it's probably got a bad sensor. Now, when you've got the new bottle, did it come with a new sensor or you had to use the old one from the other one?
Well, the sensor is not in the bottle. It's in the radiator.
Okay, I thought you said it was in the bottle. I asked if it was in the bottle, and you said yes.
No, I'm sorry.
No. Then if it's in the radiator, I want to make sure, and that was another question I was going to ask, the sensor was in the bottle or in the radiator. It's in the side of the radiator. I know exactly where it's at. So if the coolant level is below that, but you pressure tested it, and if it was low in coolant, it would have pushed the water out of that coolant tank into the radiator. So it's not uncommon. I've changed many of them. This may be just a bad sensor.
And so the sensor, it can flash if it's bad.
Absolutely.
If it goes bad.
Absolutely. I've changed hundreds of them. No, it's absolutely.
Okay.
It's just
a way to test the sensor itself with a multimeter?
Well, I guess it is. I don't think the problem is whether it's getting the information to the dash because it's flashing. So you're getting a signal there. So that means it's going to the sensor and the sensor is sending the signal back to the dash, to your dash saying it's flashing. So therefore it tells me it's probably got a bad sensor.
Okay. So it's like shorting out, so to speak.
Well, be careful about shorting out now a sensor because so you may damage something. If you had a voltmeter, then you can test the voltages coming out of it. But you start shorting it out and jumping it and all of this, I'm not going to tell you that because you may do some damage.
Okay, but when the sensor fails, it may be a short circuit in the sensor that's doing that.
That's correct.
It's
a very simple thing.
Okay, I will go work on that.
It's not expensive. It's not expensive. Just buy a sensor and put it in. Your problem will be solved.
I will do it.
All right, my friend.
Thanks so much, Leon.
You're welcome, and thanks for calling me. Have a great day. Okay, that leaves a line open at 1-800-222-KABC. Let's see. Let's go and speak to Brian. Brian, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Yes, indeed. A couple of quiz questions or jokes for you.
Oh, good. Oh, by the way, speaking of jokes, I don't know how the show got started. It's really a motoring show, Frank, and I want to tell you that everywhere I go, I've got a joke. I'll do it at 9 o'clock, Frank, because I was in a restaurant in Larson's the other day, and the manager, Joe, there told me a joke, and I'll do that joke at 9 o'clock. So 9 o'clock, I'm going to run that joke past you, Frank. So Frank's in there writing jokes now, so
All right. We'll
come up with that. All right, how can I help you?
All right, let's aim for the first one. What does air conditioning and a sports car have in common?
They're real cool to look at, Frank says.
They are both cool. Excellent.
See, Frank told me that. I look, Frank's all excited there.
All right. Second one. A race car and a kayak are both forms of transportation. What do they have in common when they appear in printed format?
Okay, Frank. Repeat that quickly.
Okay. A race car and a kayak are both forms of transportation. What do they have in common when they appear in printed format?
In printed format. They can't move, I would imagine.
That's a good effort. The answer, exactly the way I understand it, is they can be spelled the same from front to back and back to front.
Well, yeah, similar to the same thing Frank come out with. But Frank got it. Okay, real quick, I'll go to the next call. I appreciate the call.
Okay.
See if you'll know this one. God, I can't believe it's a motoring show and the jokes. What is a spaceman's favorite chocolate? What is a spaceman's favorite chocolate? Quickly.
Something in the air. A cloud.
Now, what is a spaceman's favorite chocolate? A Mars bar.
Oh, well, I said something in the air. All right, take care.
All right, thanks so much for your call. Oh, I can't believe it, folks. I apologize. And also apologize to Audrey in there. Beautiful Audrey, looking good. And I said hello to Frank, and I didn't say good morning to Audrey there. Audrey's the one when you make the phone call of 1-800-222-KABC. Audrey will put you on there, and she's a very sweet lady. And once you talk to her, you'll find out. Thank you, Audrey. I apologize for not. I got carried away. Audrey, hybrid Audrey, I should say, hybrid Audrey. I was just trying to be nice. I just forget things now occasionally. Okay, I agree, but hybrid Audrey is a fine young lady, fine young lady.
Yeah,
Paul,
baby.
Paul in Moore Park, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Good morning, Leo. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How can I help you, my
Good.
Friend?
Well, I've got a 2002 Corvette, and I'm getting fumes in the cabin. I've taken it to two what I think are excellent mechanics, and the first one, we changed the HVAC system, the HVAC filter for the air conditioning. He thought it was coming in through there, and then he flushed out the vents. Then another guy, we just put four new oxygen sensors in because he said they were reading slow, and we thought maybe the car was running rich. I've only put 50 miles on it since the H2 sensors were installed, and he said it might take a couple of hundred miles before it actually starts
I don't believe that.
Working. Well, I didn't either.
But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question before we go any further. When you say you got an odor coming in the car, and I presume you're talking about it's either a fuel odor or an exhaust odor. I need to know the difference of what type of odor that you're having in the car.
To me, it smells like the car is running rich, almost like a diesel-y smell, but not diesel, obviously.
So you're not smelling fuel. I want to clarify that. So
right.
Okay, so you're smelling exhaust fumes.
And I had all the, by two different muffler shops, check the gaskets with a stethoscope and all the pipes and everything, and that was all tight. Both of them said I had no leak whatsoever. But it smells like it's running rich. I'm not getting any check engine light.
Okay,
and,
but you smell, the point I'm trying to bring is that you're smelling exhaust fumes. I want to make that clear. So.
Correct.
Okay. That's all I need to know. And it's not gas fumes because you mentioned so many things, the evap system going in. That's all, that would be fuel related. So you're smelling exhaust fumes. Now.
Correct.
Now, have you changed the exhaust system anyway? Any change? Because the exhaust pipes on a Corvette come out the back of the vehicle.
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
When do you smell these fumes? Soon as you start it up or while you're driving it on the highway? And
when you're driving it, you don't smell it. It's when you come to rest at a stoplight.
Because I'm wondering, it's got that Corvette has a hatchback on it. You can open the back?
No, it's a convert.
It's a convertible. Oh, with I'm just wondering if it's coming through the seals. Now, you know, this is a tough one. Have you had a emission control test on the car recently?
We did. We did that.
And it passed.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
then it's not.
We did it, since then, just to check and see if something had gone wrong.
And, boy, it's like pulling teeth here. Did it pass?
Yes, it did.
Then you don't have, and it's not running too rich. The oxygen sensors was a waste. All that's a waste. That would tell you right away if it was running rich. Then you've got something that I think is not exhaust fumes. It may be coming in through the system, either a oil leak or a exhaust leak at the exhaust manifolds or a gasket or something of this nature at the engine that's coming in through the fume. The reason I asked you if it was coming back, but you said it only comes in when you're going slow. If it was fast, when you were going at higher speeds, the fumes would be coming in through the seals at the top when it comes in. But I think it's coming in somewhere from the engine where the exhaust pipes, if it's exhaust fumes. I'm not sure now if it passed the emission control, then, and that passed, that it's exhaust fumes. I think you're smelling something else because that would pick it up immediately, would show that it was too rich or too lean, which means not getting enough fuel, something of this nature. I would spend more time looking around the engine area, the exhaust manifold, or maybe the EGR valve, exhaust gas recycling valve is what I call it, EGR valve, something of this nature that would be looking in that area. So look in that area and find out. I don't think it's coming from the exhaust system, my opinion. And thanks so much for the call. 1-800, that leaves the line open, folks, at 1-800-222-KABC. Just to mention, there's a Porsche show going on at the Peterson Automotive Museum, and I highly recommend it. It is one gorgeous show at the Peterson Automotive Museum. And behind that, of course, is, you know, I'll tell you a little story, I should say, about Porsche downtown L.A. It's Valentine's time, and it's time to, if you want to get a really nice, fun car to drive around, it's nothing better than the family of Porsches, I should say. You know, I've had a long conversation with their GM, Victor, and I really liked what he shared with me. Family owned and operated for 49 years, Victor and his teams have made it their mission to be the automotive home of Porsche drivers in all of Los Angeles by providing, you know, them with a vast selection of new and used vehicles, exceptional car care, and legendary customer service with a big, big smile. Now, lots of people claim to give, you know, great customer service, but Porsche downtown L.A. takes great, and I mean great, pride in their customers. They have a very high percentage of return and referral customers. That means great selections and great customer service. So go down to Porsche downtown L.A. and meet Victor and his great, great team. Good, great team of people I've met. You'll be very glad you did. And tell them the Motor Man sent you. They're freeway close. Porsche downtown L.A. is located just 4 blocks south of the Staples Center on Figueroa. It's very easy to buy or lease your next car at Porsche downtown L.A., whether it's the 911 or that new model Porsche that I've got to get my hands on. The new GT2 RS. Ooh, what a machine. What a machine. The Panamera, the Macan, or the Porsche Cayenne SUV. Nice vehicles. Treat yourself to a nice vehicle. It's Valentine's Day coming up. Either buy one for your mate or purchase one for yourself. Downtown, Porsche downtown LA. Just tell them the one and only Motor Man sent you.
What you gonna do?
On the next episode.
It's Peter Tillman on the next Peter Tillman at 10, the Nunez Memo. It's out. What's it say? And how big a bombshell is it? Immigration compromises. It happened in Robert Wagner. They're reopening the investigation into the death of Natalie Wood. Is he in trouble? All of that and more starting at 10 right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey.
What happened? You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to pee, and you're even getting up at night to go. This is not okay. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate, the number one prostate formula, are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with 3 key ingredients that are great for your prostate. It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one. To celebrate, we're sending free bottles to men who want to cut down on bathroom trips. Yes, your first 30-day supply is free. Pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-255-3377. Early research suggests that an ingredient in P3 Advanced may help support a normal prostate size. Combine that with a reduction in urges to pee, and you have a formula you'd be crazy not to try. Get P3 Advanced free. Call 1-800-255-3377. 1-800-255-3377. 1-800-255-3377.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, this may be the last time you ever have to think about hair loss. Because I'm telling you, Bosley is the real deal. They're giving men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started on the hair gain train is a single text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text FUN to 85850. Check them out now. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Dude, this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're America's number one hair restoration expert, ahead of the curve with the latest technology. And the best part, Bosley's solution is permanent. You're going to love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting FUN to 85850. Don't forget, that's FUN. To 85850.
Pamela needs a plumber from time to time, and when she does, she calls the Smell Good Plumbers at Mike Diamond.
I do.
She posted a review online after her most recent experience.
I did.
It went something like this.
This is the second or third time we have used the Smell Good Plumbers at Mike Diamond.
and we have been very happy with the service on all occasions.
So far, so good.
I appreciate the rapid response time most of all. Both technicians Joe.
Hello.
And John.
Hey, how are you?
We're very friendly, accommodating, and knowledgeable as they completed the tasks at hand. We will share our positive experiences with our friends, family, and neighbors.
That's great to hear, Pamela. I'm Mike Diamond. I want to thank you for such a positive review. I guarantee my plumbers will show up on time and unclog your drain for $99.
Another satisfied customer. You'll find lots of them on the testimonials page at MikeDiamond.com. Check them out and then call 1-800-446-MIKE. Contractor license number 399170.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
House in Texas. Welcome back, everyone, to the one and only Motorman Show. Real quickly, five colors that boost your car's resale value. The average car depreciates 33.1% in the first 3 years of ownership, but yellow ones depreciate only 27%, orange 30%, green 30.9%, white 32%. I don't know how somebody took the time to make this up. They make up only 1.2% of all 3-year-old cars. Anyway, so your colors of the vehicle makes a big difference. So if you buy a yellow car, then it depreciates less than other cars, Frank. So it's just a little bit of tidbit news here. Okay, go back to the phones. And I love the ladies to call in. I love ladies. So, yes, I do. Big time. Okay, enough of that. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go back to, I got lots of news here and jokes, too. Frank just handed me some quite a few jokes. I can't believe it. Jokes. Everybody loves the joke. Let's go and speak to Blake. Blake, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Hey, Leon. You know, last week I called you and I made an error. I was describing a problem with my Saturn or my daughter-in-law's Saturn.
Uh-huh.
And what it is most of the time the thing starts fine. But then every once in a while, she'll turn the ignition key. Nothing will happen. She'll just have the lights. And then if you put jumping cables on it, then you could start the car. But most of the time, the car is always starting. It's fine, except for every once in a while this happens. And then, and like I said, told you, she'll wait a few minutes, like 10 minutes, and then she'll be able to start it.
I remember that call, and I mentioned something that it may be dirty battery terminals. But I'm going to explain something. Let me explain. And it still could be a starter solenoid. That's the electric switch on the starter that engages a starter. When you turn the key to the start position, what you're doing is sending electricity to a part called starter solenoid. The solenoid tells the starter to start that you want to start. So here's what happened. When you turn the key, and now this is just one scenario. If you turn the key, you got to go through the neutral safety switch, all the wiring, all the way down. So let's say you got a 12-volt system. This is really hard for it to explain, but I'm trying to make it very simple. You got 12 volts at the key. By the time it goes through all this electrical system all the way down to the starter, it may be only 9 volts coming to the starter that activates the starter solenoid. So when you put a jumper cable on it, a jump battery, now you've changed that and you put more voltage into the system that could be a bad starter solenoid. That's just one scenario of it. And I think that may be the problem, or a dirty battery terminal. Terminals. Now, I mentioned that because I think you told me, if I remember correctly, it's a side post battery.
Yes.
Okay. And I'd mentioned that cable should be taken off and clean. And let's face it, when you jump it, you're bypassing that battery. You could literally take your battery that's in there and throw it away because you're using another form of electricity to start the car. Are you following what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Even though they say, like, we had a check and they say all that stuff's good. You know, we went to, I think it was O'Reilly's or someplace, and they checked it, and they said the battery was good, and they said the alternator was good, but I don't think they checked the
alternator's
starter.
Got nothing to do with it. Alternator, if it's either bad or good, period. That just runs the battery. I mean, the battery would be dead. If something was wrong with the alternator, the battery would be dead, would die. The only purpose of the alternator is to recharge the battery. That's the purpose. That's the whole purpose of the alternator, is to recharge the battery. That's it, to keep it charged up. So the alternator has nothing to do with the starting, period, unless it's bad. That's
okay.
So you're all jumping. Right. You're looking at all these solutions, and I'm just giving you the only solutions that you would have. The only way to test it accurately when it happens is if you had a voltmeter, like it was at a shop. You would check it at the start, the wire that come down, and when you turn the key to the start and it lights up, it shows it's getting voltage there, then it's the start of solenoid, or it's not getting a full 12 volts to that. There's just a couple of things you have to check. That's hard to do, and you know, at home to check, but it's either battery terminals or a bad start of solenoid. Now, it could be a neutral safety switch or something, but a technician's got to look and use a voltmeter or a test light, what we call a test light, to just trace the electricity going down. Where is it going? If he goes down to the, if it's not leaving when you turn the switch to the start position and it's nothing at the start of solenoid, then you work your way back. Then you say, okay, I'll go to the neutral safety switch. That's because if it's a automatic, it'll only start in neutral or in park. So you go there. If you know electricity there, now you go to the ignition switch itself. You got to work sort of from the furthest point and work back. I mean, it's probably something's very simple, but I remember telling you to check the battery cables, because by putting and I can't remember 100% of every call and every person I talked to, because I've talked to people about car repairs and all week long. I've been doing a lot of flying this week, and so I've been busy with that, but it's one of those two. You're guessing, and I know you want to make it simple, but this has to just be checked out a couple of things and just take those battery cables off first. Just look at the easy things first.
Okay, I'll start on that. Oh, by the way, I got a joke, and if Frank doesn't get this, I'll be disappointed in him.
Okay.
Why did the cow rent the van?
What? Why did the cow do what?
Rent a van.
Oh, why did the cow rent a van?
Yeah. And Frank
didn't have enough money to buy it, Frank said.
No, because she was moving.
Okay. She moved. All right. You got Frank on that one. If I'm surprised Frank didn't get that one. Anyway.
Oh, Frank, I'm surprised.
All right.
Thanks,
Blake. Good luck. 1-800. I'll leave the line open at 1-800-222-KABC. And, electrical problems are hard to discuss, and I try to make it simple so you'll understand how electric flows through the vehicle and how it possibly works where it's simple. That's one thing I try to do, is simplify things and not use mechanical terminologies and all of these things to help people fix their vehicles. Okay, here to music. Music starting, time for the news and more of the Motor Man Show. Don't go away. We've got a lot to talk about. Crank her up, Frank. Let it rip. And I'll tell you one of Frank's jokes when we get back. Everybody wants to tell a joke. Yeah.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Gary Garrison. A motorcyclist was killed in a two-vehicle crash triggered by a wrong-way driver in a white pickup truck. He was later arrested on suspicion of drunk driving on the 405 freeway in Torrance. It happened a little after 3 this morning. A SIG alert has been in effect for hours due to the fatal accident investigation. Law enforcement officers will be out in force today, Super Bowl Sunday, looking for motorists who drive while impaired or who commit other traffic offenses such as drunk driving, use a designated driver, ride-sharing service, or taxi, and avoid going to jail. And representatives of the L.A. County Sheriff's Homicide Bureau will discuss recent developments tomorrow in the investigation of the November 1981 death of actress Natalie Wood. KABC SoCal weather, sunny skies today, highs around 70 at the beaches, upper 70s to mid-80s inland. More news coming up and continuous coverage at KABC.com. I'm Gary Garrison, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
Kopitar in front to Killian Barbary. Shoot! Score! Leanne Tweed, what a hit! Doug McIntyre, shot! And he scores!
We are all Kings! The Kings continue their quest to reclaim their throne Wednesday as they face off against the Edmonton Oilers.
Saved by Quick!
Nick and Daryl get things started at 7 with Inside Kings Hockey. Then, stick around after the game for Kings Talk, exclusively on your home for Kings Hockey. 790 KABC.
You know, folks, people are always asking me, what's the best way to sell my used vehicle? And I say, you need to be sure. In fact, you need to be very sure that you're dealing with a trusted and reputable buyer and that the transfer of the property is safe and very convenient. That's why I tell them to call my friends at the Arrow Suite Company. That's AARO, Arrow Suite Company. They've been in business for years and years and years. The Arrow Suite Company will come out, buy your vehicle on the spot. They'll take your information and give you a quote. It's just that simple. Want to sell your vehicle at the highest possible price with no hassle, even more than what a dealer will give you on a trade-in? Go to MotorManForCars.com, and that's the best recommendation I can possibly give by letting them use my name. That's my name, Motorman. MotorManForCars.com. Your vehicle doesn't even have to be running. What could be any easier than that? You'll save time and a lot of money by eliminating the expense of posting ads and waiting for the phone to ring and having strangers come to your door. So go to MotorManForCars.com. And turn your clutter in your garage into quite a bit of cash. The Arrow Suite Company will buy your vehicle regardless of how much you owe and will give you a very, very sweet deal. So call my friends at the Arrow Suite Company to find out how much cash can be in your pocket today. Use a trusted resource to sell your used vehicle. Just go to MotorManForCars.com. That's MotorManForCars.com. Or actually, you can call them. 800, here's the phone number, 800-870-1841. That's 800-870-1841. 800-870-1841. I use the word zero. That's in flying terminology. They want you to use zero. So 800-870-1841. Call them today. Tell them the Motor Man sent you.
Attention shoppers, clean up on aisle 14. Clean up on aisle 14. Someone dropped a jar of pickles. Pickles. Kosher pickles.
Beatboxing at a big box store. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
A red minivan has the lights on in the parking lot.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What happens next? Rising inflation drops in the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. You can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins in an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. Call 855-858-5807 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation. Call Augusta Precious Metals right now at 855-858-5807 and get a free gold IRA guide. Call 855-858-5807.
Let's listen now.
Don't just listen. Be a part of the show.
Hello. Who is this?
Call us at 800-ABC-KABC.
800-222-5222.
I'm only 14. With a little bit of Von Dutch, I found a real cute baby. She's a real swinging baby, and she says we'll go steady just as soon as I get me a hot rod. I'm gonna take her for a moonlight drive across Mulholland Drive. I'm only 14, but I'm going on 15, but I want to be 16, so I can get me a hot rod.
Okay, folks, we have a little technical problem. I'm not sure where they can hear me, I guess. They're on. Okay. I had to move to another location, folks, I had to get to another location. I'll go back and we'll find out what's going on there. So, I'll have to have, God, I hate it when something happens like that. It's ridiculous. Got a brand new Motorman studio, and then something goes haywire. I don't know what's going on here with the electrical system in this place. But, Audrey, could you just put a caller up there so I can find out what's going on? I was getting ready. I didn't have my pad. They had me run to another microphone and see what happened. So with the next break, we'll find out. So I have no way of putting up a caller now, and so we'll figure out. Let me go back to the other phone. Maybe I'll can figure things out. So hold on, I'll try it. Let me go back. So I'll be gone just a second, folks.
I'm ready to go home. I'm going to walk out of here.
I hope somebody can hear me now. Oh, it's working now? What in the world happened, Frank? You're the expert there. I apologize, folks. Just you took my pad, Audrey. Oh, brother. I apologize, folks. Got all these new equipment here, all this new things, and it's just, oh, brother, it's so frustrating. As if I need some another problem in my life. Let's go and speak to Alan. Let's see. Cool. Alan, welcome to the program. Sorry about the problem. Yep. We had some kind of electrical failure here. And
Okay,
you can hear me loud and clear. Good. How can I help you, my friend?
I've got a 98 Volkswagen Jetta. And about 10,000 miles ago, I had a new clutch put in because I want to keep the car going because it always ran great.
Okay.
I go to start the car. I put the front of the clutch. It goes all the way down to the floor and something grabbed it. And, and then it's like, then there was like no clutch at all. I had to manually take my hand and go down and pull the clutch back up. The mechanic says that it's the clutch. I need the new clutch. Well, I put a new clutch in less than 10,000 miles ago. Almost seemed like it was like the cable snapped. But he says, no, you need a whole new clutch.
I'm trying to ask you, is that hydraulic clutch, a hydraulic, or has it got a cable that goes to it?
A cable. If a 98 Volkswagen Jetta.
If it's a cable, and of course, I'm not being there to look at it. There's a part called a clutch fork that works the clutch. And if it's got a cable and it's moving that clutch fork, it could be in the clutch mechanism itself. It could be. If it was hydraulic, I would give you another diagnosis of that. But since it's a cable and it is moving the clutch fork.
Well, now the pedal went, when I got to the floor, I had to take my hand and pull it back up.
All right. Did the clutch work then when you pulled it back up?
No, like there's nothing there at all now.
Is it like in neutral? I mean,
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
It is a clutch problem then. If it's there, you pull the pedal back up, that means the clutch fork, hopefully, if you were there, the clutch fork is the part that moves the clutch, that is the mechanism that's moving the clutch assembly itself inside the, well, not inside the transmission, but between the engine and the transmission. And therefore the clutch fork, that means the clutch is sticking all the way down. And if you pull the clutch pedal back and it's still in neutral, I mean, you still move the gears around, and that means the clutch is stuck. It's in the release position, and, it does have a bad clutch or something in that mechanism.
Yeah.
And that's a big job.
It's going to be a big job. So now the good question is, what to do? I mean, I like the car because I had a whole new transmission put in about 15,000 miles ago, a new clutch put in about 10,000 miles ago. But, okay.
Well, it sounds like providing the clutch fork and all is working, and it's not, and they could, I'd have to be there to look at it, see it's not something that's causing the clutch fork. It looks like a fork. If I took it off, that's the reason they call it a clutch fork. It pushes on the bearing, and it moves these fingers on the clutch, and the clutch is sticking down. There's something wrong with the clutch plate assembly inside the bell housing there. So therefore, you're going to have to, have the transmission removed and look at that clutch.
So to do that, you got to take the engine out on this kind of car. Oh, okay.
Well, it's a big job. It's a big job regardless where you take the engine out or not.
Yeah. It's not just a matter of removing and replacing your clutch.
No. You got to separate the engine from the transmission.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Thank you.
All right. Good luck, my friend. I'm sorry. Yeah, bad news there.
Okay, but at least I trust what you got to say. Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
For the electric system, electrical system shut down, I was fortunate enough that I had some good friends, my wife Dixie Bell and I. She called me, his wife called me, invited me to dinner last night, which was very nice. And I met a young man, I met him before, his name is Ronnie. Ronnie Squire. And after talking to him and I was telling him he loves flying. He's just a young man, got his driver's license. He's already soloed flying. He's a very smart, smart young man. It makes me think that there's still hope in America, still hope for this country. He wants to go into the Air Force Academy. And I was telling him my cousin Ed, was top 10 in the Air Force Academy, and his mother was not well, and I had to go there, and his father couldn't go to his graduation, so my wife Dixie Bell and I was there, and I had to pin his lieutenant bars on him from his dad. His dad sent them to me, and his mother passed away like a week after, and it was a bad deal for him, but we represented it like his parents, and he's retired now, and he was the youngest general. He graduated top 10, and this man I can tell that I talked to last night, Rodney, that's going to go a long, long way. What a fine young man. He's in the Civil Air Patrol. He does all kind of things. He's a nice-looking young man, much like myself. And I'm real proud of it. It's nice to see there's still hope for this country when you see these kind of people that you meet. And I want to thank my neighbors there, Diane, for inviting me, and Ron inviting me over for dinner last night. Anyway, it was a pleasure speaking to him and his parents as well. It's their grandson, and his parents as well were there. So I enjoyed the evening. Okay, enough of that. I just want to say that it was getting involved in flying. I did a lot of flying yesterday, too. I went up by myself for about an hour and just flew around the mountains and everything. It's just so beautiful, beautiful. It was really, really, really nice. Let's go. Let's see. It's Billy. Let me find Billy. It is Billy there. Billy, welcome to the program. I'm sorry for the little electrical problem we had.
Oh, that's okay, Motor Man. I didn't know your business, but I'll be brief. I have a 1981 Toyota Corona, like the Mexican beer wagon, and sometimes when the car's been sitting in the driveway for a while, maybe half a day or so, I smell gasoline fumes when I open the door and sit down. I took it to a place that had assigned master mechanic here, and he told me it could be a leak in the carburetor. He diagnosed it as possible leak in the carburetor, possible leak in the fuel pump, which you know it doesn't have ejectors, and or a possible leak in the hose, the fuel hose that comes out of the tank up to the engine. And I said, which is it? He said he didn't know. He'd have to diagnose it for a whole day. And I said, gee, that doesn't sound right. So,
well, it's very easy to check for leaks. Usually, if it's a fuel leak at a fuel pump, let's say, usually be a stain, or you put your hand on, it'll be wet. But what he can do is he can possibly pressurize the tank to see if there's a leak somewhere. He can take an air hose and not put a lot of pressure and put a rag where the gas cap goes. And it's not a station wagon, is it?
Yes, sir. It is a station wagon. I looked around on the engine manifold, never see any stains of fuel, put my finger on it, never feel any fuel.
Well, if it's a station, reason I say a station wagon is it's a big hollow vehicle, and sometimes it could be as simple as just a gas cap. I would, when you take the gas cap off, look and see, because when you're driving and then you park, let me see how I can explain this simply. On your vintage vehicle here with the carburetor, with the fuel that goes to the engine, what fuel doesn't get used, it gets sent back to the tank, so it doesn't cause vapor lock. You may have heard the word vapor lock in the
car. Yeah.
They don't have vapor lock because they kept that going. Vapor lock's when the fuel boils in the line, mm-hmm. and it creates a pressure, and fuel can't go either direction. So now they keep the fuel flowing, and so therefore it's pressure building up in your tank. So when you cut the vehicle off, you may have a pressure. It's relieving the pressure somewhere. It may be nothing more than a gas cap. You need to take the gas cap.
I have a gas cap that's been on there for years.
That's right. It's probably the seal. If you take it off and look at the bottom side of it, or the other side, or bottom side, I guess it would be, the rubber seal. If it's got little cracks and things in it, that's where it's coming from, and especially a station wagon. That's why I mentioned station wagon. You'll notice it more in wagons than you will sedans.
I see. Now, motor matter, is there a danger of fire?
Well, I don't know that I could say it's a danger. I don't. If something's wrong, it should be fixed. Whether it's my home or my car, something wrong, I'm a do it right away kind of guy. I want it done
well,
right now.
I PM that car, like you said, for years and years. If you PM your car properly, it will last you 30 years or 300,000 miles.
That is correct.
Now, it's an 81, so it's got more than 30 years, and it's pretty near 300,000. So your advice is true. I have another quick question. I live due south, about 90 degrees south of the main campus at Lowe's Hill Cemetery. You know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit out in the backyard when it's nice weather, have myself a margarita, and watch this freeway of airliners coming into LAX. And sometimes one of them will come in way, way lower than the other. I can tell because I see the navigation lights much bigger. As he does a probably a 220-degree turn in the final lap to the field. And I said, my God, that guy is so much lower. And you can tell because the navigation lights on the wings look much bigger and the sound is much louder. And I wonder, what is the minimum altitude as they come over an area like Whittier?
The sound with that low, because airplane, you're talking about the noise that jet engines are making?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Because jet engines, I talked about this the other day, jet engines, my plane, I fly it to the ground, to the runway. I don't like to use that term, fly it to the ground, but fly it to the runway. Jet engines, they're heavy, so they come in under power. The plane actually is sinking. It sinks its way. If you ever notice at LAX or any other big airport where there's a large 747 or any of the large aircraft carry passengers, they come in nose high. The plane, my plane, and most small planes, I come in my nose down. I'm heading for the runway. If you look at some of the big planes, the nose is high.
Right, it's lifted off, yeah.
And they sink into the ground. So as they're sinking, they just give it more power to make it come in slowly and slowly and slowly. So that's the reason. If they're lower, you're going to hear the engines more than others. So that's the reason that you notice that. Jet heavy planes, they sink to the ground to land. They use power to land.
What's the minimum altitude, though?
Well, it should be. It depends on whatever the glide slope and what's I don't know. There is a minimum glide slope.
Oh, there isn't?
Not unless there's a minimum glide slope if it's on electronic, if they own automatic pilot going down.
Uh-huh,
it should be, but maybe the tower told them to go low. I don't know. It's too many ifs here.
I see.
Maybe he wanted to land the runway.
By 5 miles in distance and probably 5,000 feet in altitude. But when they make that last 240 turn southwest, I can see they're really low.
Well, it may be they were told low, or they were told that the runway's too short. There's something on the runway to land short, so he wants to come in under different. I don't know. There's many scenarios here when it comes to the flying. So I've got to run, my friend. I'm running out of time for that little electrical problem we had. Then I'm running a little behind. And thanks so much, Billy, for your call. I appreciate it. Folks, your friends at Leon Transmissions are bringing you another helpful hint. What do you know about warranties? Well, a warranty is only as good as the company that stands behind it. Do they have an excellent reputation when selecting your repair facility? Consider how many years that they've been in business. Are they going to be there to back the warranty up? Make sure your warranty is in writing. Is your warranty good nationwide? Ask how the warranty is administered. Always know the restrictions and limitations of the warranty before authorizing the work. You may have identical warranties for time and mileage, but they still can be very, very different. For more information, go to leonstransmission.com. Or for your transmission needs, go to any one of the Leon's Transmission 8 locations in Oxnard, Thousand Oaks, Reseda, Garden Grove, La Mirada, Canyon Country, and, of course, Costa Mesa, and, of course, Glendale. All you have to do is just tell them the Motor Man sent you.
Coming up on the next drive home, we'll tell you what happened to Jillian's bathtub after she filled it up with guacamole for the Super Bowl.
Almost 14 million people call in sick after the Super Bowl on Monday. We will not be doing that. We will be here with all of your favorite moments and, of course, the hits and misses as far as the commercials.
All right, break!
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Lauren Siobhan right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
What you gonna do?
On the next episode.
It's Peter Tillman on the next Peter Tillman at 10, the Nunes memo. It's out. What's it say? And how big a bombshell is it? Immigration compromise. Is it happening? And Robert Wagner, they're reopening the investigation into the death of Natalie Wood. Is he in trouble? All of that and more starting at 10 right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hope you're ready for the next episode.
Well, folks, can you believe it's February already? Wow. Well, my friends, my good friends at Budget Car Sales are having another huge February blowout sale. You know, Budget is overstocked with low mileage, well-maintained one-owner demos, lease returns, and well-maintained as well pampered rental returns. Budget makes buying a vehicle very, very easy, and that's why I recommend Budget for your next car purchase. Or I should say vehicle purchases, because they have SUVs, trucks, sedans, have all types of vehicles. A normal transaction time at a dealership is around 4 to 5 hours. Budget gets you in and out in less than an hour with red carpet delivery service. That's right, red carpet delivery service. So why not give them a call right now at 562-407-2800. Budget offers on-the-spot financing on approved credit, and you will even they'll even take your trade-ins. You know, Budget only sells certified, checked-out vehicles with low, low miles that are still on the full factory warranty. So there's no worries. You can rest assured that you're getting a clean vehicle with a great history behind that vehicle. So if you go down to Budget and take a test drive, they'll give you a Visa gift card up to $100, no purchase necessary. I'm going to repeat that. If you go down to Budget today and take a test drive, they'll give you a Visa gift card up to $100. That's right, $100, no purchase is necessary. I may even take a ride over there. So call Budget today, 562-407-2800. That's 562-407-2800. There simply isn't a better place to buy your next vehicle. And just tell them the one and only Motorman sent you. Okay, folks, we're going back to the phones now. We go and speak to, let's go and speak to Larry. Larry, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Good morning, Motorman. Say, Motorman, I've got a few questions about this 2006 PT Cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 46,000 miles on it.
Wow, low mileage.
Yes, it's my wife's car. And it still has the original fluids except the oil and filter. And do I change those fluids and also the timing light?
Timing belt.
I mean, the timing belt is the original one.
Well, I would flush the radiator. I would change the fluids in the radiator.
Okay.
I would flush the brake fluids.
Okay.
And that would probably be it with that many miles. If the transmission fluid, everything is clean, those are the two that can just probably deteriorate just from sitting there. So if it was my vehicle, and I would flush the cooling system, and I'd flush the brake system. Other than that, I'd leave it alone, as long as you change your oil.
Timing belt's okay then, with 46,000.
46,000 miles, time-wise, yes, but, you know, that's a marginal thing. They claim you should change the timing belt every 5 years.
Okay.
You know, 5 to 6 years. But with 46,000 miles, if you want to gamble on it and you just drive it locally, you know, that this is would I do it if I just, if you had the funds to do it, I would do it just to be on the safe side, but it's not something that's absolutely 100% necessary.
Okay.
In my opinion. Okay. But the radiator coolant I'd flush, and I would flush the brake fluid as well as that, and that would take care of that. Now, thank you so much. Thank everybody for the call, and I apologize, folks, for that little mishap. I don't know what's going on. We had an electrical problem here. See, everything's new in the motor. Man studio here, but I got lots of news, and we got another power-packed hour. We'll be talking to Larry and CB and Lois and George, all that coming up in the next hour, so don't go away. And I got a joke for Frank, and the first thing, a joke for Frank coming up.